Like, have you had that conversation with yourself lately? Like, what do I need to feel well? When people ask me about friendships and relationships and marriages and stuff, I say to them, have you told those people what makes you feel valued? And do you know what makes them feel valued? So you can align your values. What do I need to feel cared for? What do I need to feel whole without being like hubristic, but like narcissistic? But I still need to know what I need. So the Sheikh, he says, Alhamdulillah, kama yajibu li azimi majdi. I'm just going to read it in Arabic for Baraka. He said, all praise be to Allah as His transcendence and His incredible nature and magnificent deserves. Wa jalali, and His, again, like His transcendence. Wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ali. And peace and blessings upon Al-Habib, Sayyidina Muhammad. You know, whenever you feel sad, make salawat. Allah, you'll feel a difference, man. The Prophet said, whoever says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah sends salawat upon them times 10. Like whoever says peace and blessings be upon me, even if it's in English, man, or Urdu or Persian, whatever, it doesn't matter. All languages are made by Allah. He said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise that person 10 stations, forgive that person 10 sins, and grant them 10 hasanat. You know when the Prophet was told that if you said that, that would happen, you know what he did? Abu Musa al-Ash'ari said when the Prophet was sitting with us, suddenly he made sujood, the prostration of thankfulness. And I asked him, why are you thankful? He said, no one from my ummah says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam except those things happen. So I'm so happy for them that I made sujood for them, for you. Another authentic narration, whenever you say alayhi salatu wasalam, when you say sallallahu alayhi wasalam, there is an angel next to the grave of the Prophet who says, what's your name? Lamis just sent salam to you. What's your name, brother? Anas. Ayaz. Ayaz just sent salam to you. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So like, you know, we believe in beyond the material, we have a greater passion. So he said, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ali. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his family. Prophet said, I left you two things. If you hold them, you'll never go astray. The Quran and Ma'ad. This is related by Imam Muslim. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet said, man ahabba Husayn faqad ahabbahu Allah. In authentic hadith, whoever loves Husayn has loved Allah. Whoever loved Husayn, Allah loves him. These are all from our Sunni tradition. So again, we're very fragile. Sunni fragility, it's a problem. And you couple that with ethnic fragility, woo. وَبَعْدْ فَقَصْتُ بِهَذَا الْمُخْتَصَرِ. And he said, the reason that I wrote this short text, وَفُصُولِهِ, and I divided it into chapters, تَمْهِيدْ قَوَعَدْ تَصَوْفُ أُصُولِ, is to introduce the foundational principles of Sufism. A lot of people may be Sufis and they're unaware of what are the foundational principles. Then your Sufism is untethered. And untethered spirituality is a problem too. We've seen spiritual abuse, right? Those things happen when I allow my spirituality to deceive me. I become blinded by spirituality. But I should never calibrate my spirituality in a way that allows me to feel superior to people. That would be shaitanic Sufism. But Adamic Sufism is that my spirituality always causes me to turn back to Allah and to recognize my humility, my mistakes, and to see that I need Allah and I need to be good to people. So the Sheikh lays out what are the foundations of being a Sufi? Like, what are the foundations of reading Quran properly? What are the foundations of Arabic language? What are the foundations of fiqh? So the Sheikh is saying, I'm going to bring discipline to this science because it has become untethered. And because of that, people on the other side are upset. And I'm sure you've seen stuff on YouTube, people like stabbing themselves, say la ilaha illallah, and drinking poison. How is this, man? You know, drink poison, can't pray fajr? It's kind of awkward, right? Or I have such a spiritual state, but like I abuse my kids. What's the purpose of your spirituality if you're an abuser? So he's saying, قَوَاعِدْ تَصَوَّفْ وَأُصُولِهِ. I'm going to lay out what are the foundations of tasawwuf and its principles. Can you go back up, please? Yeah, yeah. A little bit in the middle. Yeah. وَيَصِلُ الْأُصُولَ فِقْهَ بِطَرِقَةٍ. And here's the point of his entire book. I'm going to marry the foundations of Islamic law, the philosophy of Sharia, with tariqah, with the inner. So I'm going to weld the inner and outer rules together. No one had did this before him. At the time of the Prophet, they weren't divided. Zakat has two meanings for a reason. Zakat means to give, but zakat means to grow. Zakat means to give. Zakat also, it's in the language, means to purify. So there's never this amputation, if you will, between the inner and the outer. This happens over time. So this is وَيَصِّرَ وَيَصِّرُ الْأُصُولَ الْفِقْهَ وَالْفِقْهَ بِالطَّرِقَةِ. أُصُول here means عَقِيدَةً, the foundations of belief. And fiqh means the practice, the outer practice, with the inner. How many of you know the hadith of Jibreel? Like the famous hadith where Gabriel comes to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, ask him three questions. Those three questions are found in what he just said. He asked the Prophet about faith, that's usul. He asked the Prophet about Islam, practice, that's fiqh. He asked the Prophet about the heart, ihsan, to worship Allah as though you can see him, even though you can't see him, that's tariqah, haqiqah. So he's saying, I'm going to marry all three of these things together to show you that tasawwuf is rooted in foundations. To protect us from charlatans who say they're righteous people but are really creeps, and hyper-literalists who are irresponsible in their literalism. I'm going to try to bring some balance to the situation. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ أَعْتَمِدُ فِي تَيْسِيرِ مَا أَرَدْ. So it's upon Allah that I trust and hope He will facilitate this for me. Shaykh is very humble. وَإِلَيْهِ أَسْتَنِدْ. أَسْتَنِدْ means to rely, to lean on. So on Allah, metaphorically, I'm leaning on to help me accomplish this. فِي تَحْقِيقِ مَا قَسَدْ. In achieving this goal, this objective that I want. وَهُوَ حَسْبُنَا وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And Allah is sufficient as a caretaker and as a guide and as someone who looks after my affairs. I'm going to take a 10-minute break. When we come back, we're going to start the first qa'ida, the first rule. And this rule is the foundation of all things. And what he's going to ask you to think about, and what I want you to think about during the break, is wellness. What does wellness mean to you? So inshallah, we'll take a short break and then be back, inshallah. Let's think about wellness. Like, I want you to kind of close your eyes for a minute and just look into yourself and think about what you need to feel well. These are powerful conversations. We don't talk to ourselves enough. So just take like a minute or so and just think about, and these things can change. These aren't perennial. Sometimes I need pizza to feel well. You know what I mean? But try to think about what is intrinsic to your wellness. All right, does anyone want to share? Yes, sir. MashaAllah, man, that's nice. Well, we're done. He's like finished the whole course. Can you get specific? Like,
no.
What's something you need specifically to feel emotionally well?
Nothing sad.
All right, cool. I'm gonna let you off the hook. Yes, sir. Maybe you can translate for everybody. That's what they need to feel well. Whoever is sufficient. I'm going to let you think about it. And I'll get back to you. Yes, ma'am.
Feeling anchored.
What does that mean, though?
Like,
I'm not going to let you get away with euphemisms.
Sure.
I'm going to get you. Yes.
Feeling I have a base, that okay. I can go back to. I can float around.
What's that base?
Family home.
Right. Good, good. Nice, nice. Family home. I was trying to push him to say mama. Right? But, yeah, we personality in Greek means a mask. Right? So we tend to layer. I'm not saying you did that, but we tend to layer our needs. And that's why communication is really important. What do I really need? Has anyone seen that show on Netflix where that lady goes into people's houses and helps them organize their homes? What's that show called?
Maria Kondo.
That show is amazing, man. I don't know her name. I'm sorry. But like, and she says to them what? Keep what? Keep what brings you joy. And there's this white dude with like Michael Vick jerseys and like he's got stuff from like DMX t-shirts. And he's like, this is like really hard. Like, I don't know what brings me joy. And that's terrifying when I don't really know what can bring me. And maybe one of the goals of capitalism on steroids is to confuse what makes you happy. So then you become a consumer. You buy things. Buying things makes me happy. Yes, you had your hand up, sister.
Getting enough sleep.
Yeah, man, getting enough sleep is important. That's beautiful.
Physical safety.
Physical safety. What does that mean, doctor? Your wife's around, or?
yeah, just basically being not concerned about when I walk out of my house, am I in danger? If I'm in my house, am I in danger? If you have those types of feelings, you're always going to be not concerned about, you know, growing and developing yourself. You're going to be worried about, I don't want to be harmed.
Right. Yes, sir. Okay, here we go. It's Google. It's Google Translate. Yeah, that's beautiful. Anyone else? Yes? Anxiety. How many people struggle with anxiety, man? Ibn Hazm said the whole entire goal of life is to reduce anxiety. Like after worship and everything is like, people are constantly motivated for security, right? To achieve a lack of anxiety. I didn't realize how powerful anxiety was until I lost my mother. And then I didn't realize how powerful it was until I started working in a university. I don't mean to insult students, but I had a student who her anxiety, she couldn't come to class. Like I thought she was lying because I know back in the days I would have been like, yeah, I'm sick, I can't make it. But like really was overcome with, I would say, unrealistic senses of fear about stuff, like just didn't exist. And having to like walk her through that, she couldn't come to class. Like it debilitates people. Mashallah. What do you need not to feel anxious? Yeah, but that's an honest answer. Like, don't be shy here to say like I don't know. The Prophet said I don't know is the third of knowledge. And we're all still like if we all knew, like we're going to be anxious until we get to Jannah. Right? La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. The dunya is a place of anxiety. Because if it was a place of absolute tranquility, we wouldn't long for paradise. So there's a balance. Yes, in the back. For what?
Creativity.
Yeah, creativity. You know, there's like in Iman in Chicago, I don't know if people are familiar with Iman, they have like therapy through the arts. We took a group of students last year Iman and they did like pottery and like there were people like beating up the clay, man, you know, and they were like, good, you know, take out that anxiety. And then they created something from their anxiety, from their anger. It was really beautiful, mashallah. What else? Yes, sir, in the back.
Thank you.
Brother Rafiq, thank you. So let's start now. The Sheikh is going to talk about wellness. And if you look in the Quran, it's very interesting when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks to the Quraysh. I don't know if anyone here is familiar with like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. It's his theory when you teach children, like if, you know, Sally lost her Snoopy pencil, like she's not gonna be able to take an exam now. It's like, I lost my Snoopy pencil. Like, human beings, we may replace that Snoopy pencil with something else, right? With something greater, or even something of less value, but it comes in and creates like problems. So if we can scroll down, inshallah. Sheikh, he begins by, that's interesting. Okay, it's fine, no worries. No anxiety. Yeah, let me vent. So he says, Al-afiyatu sukunu qalb. He begins, and he's talking now about from the perspective of the inner. He's not talking about the outer. He's saying inwardly, if we want to start to become well at an inner level, this is how we need to define inner wellness. The wellness of a Sufi. The wellness of a seeker. The wellness of someone who's working on the internal furnishings, Islamically. So there may be other definitions of wellness. Lauren, we need some help up here. Mohammed, the document didn't download. So thank you so much. Allah bless you tremendously, a million times over. Alhamdulillah. So he says, Al-afiyatu. Al-afiya means wellness. And afiya is a word that means like, everything's gravy. You know what I mean? Like, everything's great. That's afiya. It's like a great way to translate it. Al-afiyatu sukunu qalb. The Sheikh, he begins, he said, wellness. Everyone knows what is sukun. Sukun is a letter that doesn't have a vowel, right? So it's like a, e, u. Sukun is the circle, right? Sukun actually means what, like an Urdu, jukuro, right? Sukun means silence, uskut. Also means tranquility, sakina. So the Sheikh is saying that afia is that your heart is in a state of sukun. It's sakin, meaning you're not being pushed and pulled in a thousand different ways. You found some kind of tranquility. You found silence in your heart. What it means here is as a metaphor that the world around you and the things around you are not so loud that they're careening into your soul and taking away from who you really are. It's a very, his language, is the guy is mashallah, man. So he says, Al-afiya and the Sufiya. Sukunu qalb is that tranquility, that healthy silence of the heart. An al-ittirab. Ittirab in that looks like when I don't wear my glasses. It's probably where I can see it. Actually, I can see it right now. May Allah bless you, man. Thank you. I really love you guys, man. I appreciate you both. So if we can scroll on down. I think if you hit that, yeah, two. So he says, I'll just go from memory. He says, Al-afiyatu sukunu qalb ala ittirab, which means that the heart is experiencing a sense of tranquility that protects it. Ittirab is like if you walk like this. That's ittirab. In hadith, we have what's called sanad muttarib. If a chain of narration breaks a lot, it has like, came from this person, that person, that person. So like I'm trying to follow the chain to the Prophet. It's like boom, 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 boom. It's not consistent. So it means that the heart is being rocked by inconsistencies and by things that are causing it to be bumpy, boom, 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 boom. Who can think of something that makes your heart bump? I got one. I got an 18-year-old daughter. Yeah. All the mothers are like, mm-hmm. Mm. and a 16-year-old son, Lord have mercy, right? That causes your heart to jump up and down, right? What else? What rocks your heart, moves you? Music. Good. But here it's in a negative sense.
Work.
Yeah, he means you're being rocked by something which is not healthy for you. Work, definitely.
Instability.
Yeah, man, family instability. Politics.
Weather.
I'm Oklahoma, man. I remember tornadoes as a kid, man. That would rock you, right? What he's talking about are those things external that cause, I'm gonna find my copy of the book on my phone. My memory's not that good. That cause us to be rocked. That cause us to experience anxiety. I think I got it. Okay, yeah, let me use it. Thank you, sir. Comes with a yeah. As you get older, things change.
Can't see.
So what he means are things that rock you in the wrong way. Iptirab is a negative bounce. So it's like Georgia Avenue. So, is Georgia Avenue on your heart? And it's rocking you. So, family. Those things that move us. So, he said, Al-Afiya is sukun al-qalb. But he also, there's something inferred here. It doesn't necessarily mean things that legitimately should rock us. Like our kids, kind of should rock us, right? Our family, they have that right. What he means are, how many likes do I have today? So what he's getting at are things which aren't intrinsically there to rock you. Superficiality. Because if I'm rocked out of concern for my child, that's worship. If I'm politically motivated about a 7-year-old child that gets shot and killed, and that moves me, that's a good thing. It shouldn't consume me, but it can inspire me. But if I'm worried because, you know, my projector's not working and that consumes me and it, like, ruins my day, that's not good. Or like I couldn't find my dress shoes, so I have to wear like New Balances. Oh God, life's over. Like nobody even cares, dude. So what he means here is al-afiyatu sukunu qalbi an al-ittirab. Iptirab, asha la qimata laha, stuff that shouldn't rock you. Our kids should rock us. Right? The weather sometimes should rock us. So he says, al-afiyatu, wellness, is the tranquility of the heart from disturbances. Meaning that in the face of those challenges, in the face of my heart resting on a metaphoric Georgia Avenue, I don't lose myself. That's wellness. I don't lose my values. I don't lose what intrinsically identifies me. I can think of something that had a major impact on me. Friends, man. Sometimes friends are enemies. Especially if they're trying to, like, push me or intimidate me to be something I'm not. That's iqtirab. And you'll notice that when the Sheikh talks about this kind of stuff, he uses really, really kind of universal language, because everybody got their own drama. Everybody has their own problems. So he said, al-afiyatu. That's the wrong one. The other document. No, there's another document. Yeah, that's the wrong document. Yeah. It's okay. It all happens. There's one and two. That's two. So keep that one open because we're going to use that one later. So he says, Al-afiyatu sukunu qalbi an al-ittirabi. And then he says, Wa qad yakunu dharik, meaning tranquility could be due to a number of reasons. And here we see, this is the theme of this book, the attempt to constantly marry things, not to separate. So he said, وَقَدْ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ بِسَبَبْ عَادِيٍ أَوْ وَجْهِ شَرْعِيٍ. That tranquility could come to your heart either due to like your habits. Like my man said, listen to music. Some people, they listen to Bach, and it brings tranquility to their heart. Some people listen to Sammy Yusuf, it brings tranquility. Some people listen to Coltrane, I don't know. Some people do yoga. Some people go and throw a kettlebell around. Some people eat kale, right? Some people do keto. I don't know, right? But we all have our own thing that we like to do to achieve a sense of tranquility within the sphere of our life. Go on walks with your wife or husband. Play with your children, right? So he said, وَقَدْ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ بِسَبَبْ. That tranquility could be experienced through things that you like to do in your daily life. Like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I love perfume, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Jawzi said the Prophet loves also sweet meat from Yemen. And he used to say, like, I love to wear the cotton from Yemen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should not think that being a spiritual person means to completely devoid ourselves of any physical blessings. Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنَعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Like, celebrate blessing. And I worry sometimes, especially with younger Muslims, like they're taught, like, you shouldn't have swagger. Like, you shouldn't enjoy. But for many people, like my man Amir Suleiman, like, spoken word is his passion. He finds pleasure and tranquility in that. And he said, "Awajhin shari," or perhaps you find tranquility from your religious practices. And that's what I love about him. Usually, I've seen people say one of the most irresponsible things I've ever heard in my life is when a young woman, this is years ago, I was sitting in the audience, asked an imam, I'm going through depression, and he said, it's because your iman is weak. I was like, okay, let me cut you in the face, and if you bleed, it's because your iman is weak. Like, that's ridiculous. So what the sheikh is saying is, and there's a subtle inference happening in this principle, and that is that you've got to find peace in two places. In this binary relationship, you got to find peace in dunya, you got to find peace in akhirah. You got to find peace in spirituality, and you got to find peace in the material. So instead of divorcing my material responsibilities and my desires for, go up one more, my desires to achieve, yeah, mashallah. And my, Allah bless you guys, man. Thank you so much. And my desires to achieve, I need to try to weld the dunya with the akhirah, not separate them. Why do you think, for example, Ibn Taymiyyah says, if you want to be in paradise, then you should live paradise. Like, you should feel paradise in dunya. Before paradise comes, you should have felt it. Meaning, like, you should find happiness in Allah's blessings, man. But not to the point that it becomes an unhealthy attachment. We're going to talk about that later. So the Shaykh, he says, Al-afiyatu sukunu qalb. Wellness is that state of the heart where you're, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good. It's not easy. An al-ittirab, from the things that shake it and move it. وَقَدْ يَكُونُ ذَلِكَ السُّكُونَ. Meaning that tranquility could be due to something that you find tranquility in doing in your daily life. Or it could be something found in the liturgy and practices of worship that Allah has commanded you. Man, it's so freaking relieving to hear that.